Good morning. And today, as we gather together on this first Sunday in Advent, beginning a new church year, we remember in faith, peace, hope, and love the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he now gathers us together. Several things that we want to note and announce here is that they have, with the Advent coming, we have the Advent services on Wednesdays at noon and at 7. So noon and 7, there are no meals this year, but we do have those two services. Also in the back, there are the offering envelopes, and you'll see them over that way in the back for this coming year that's coming up. Also to note today that we do have communion, and so we will offer that communion between 9:10 and 9:30 for those who are not here but watching this at home but desire to come here. Also, tomorrow we have the 4:30 service, which is communion, and that is with no singing and 100% Mass, a reminder of that. We have the normal 6 o'clock service, and then we have the service at Lenore at 11 a.m. on Thursday. We'll be following the order of service, which is printed in our bulletin, and it's Divine Service 3. We will have our organ prelude, and then we will have our hymn of the opening hymn, hymn 355 after the organ prelude. God's blessings and peace be with you on this day. I invite you to stand as we continue the Divine Service 3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent bitter sufferings and death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Behold, your King is coming to you.
Righteousness having salvation.
To you, O Lord,
I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame.
They shall be ashamed who are wanted to be treacherous.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Behold, your King is coming to you. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God beside you who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you are angry. You were angry and we sinned. In our sins, we have been long time. And shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay of your potter. And you are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Be not trembly, terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever.
Behold, please look. We are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that you have given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you at the end. Guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the gospel reading and sing the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let it go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw his cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and the others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. And those who went before and those who follow were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge my baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated, and we sing hymn 343.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. This is the collect of the day. It is the great prayer of Advent that has been prayed by the church for over 1,000 years. It is a prayer for protection and salvation. But above all, it prays for the gift of protection from the perils of our iniquity and the consequences of our sin. But it teaches us the gift the Lord desires us to expect. So, in our world, though, we ask, what are you getting for Christmas? The whole season of Advent, the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas morning, is thinking about what could I get for Christmas? What should I expect? Perhaps the pandemic this year has led to even more detailed curation of Christmas gifts. Maybe instead of just asking for a thing and writing it on a list, you've had time to look at the individual SKU number or the model number just to make sure that there is no disappointment on Christmas morning. We want to make sure it's communicated perfectly so that our significant other, mom, dad, grandma or grandpa, brother, sister, will provide that gift exactly as we want. Because after all, we certainly wouldn't want to deal with returns now if we're supposed to stay home. And the no-giver also wants to be a disappointment to the one to whom they're giving a gift. No one wants tears on Christmas morning. The giver, though, wants that present to match exactly the anticipation, the hype, the expectation, the hope that that one who will unwrap it will have. The gift should match exactly the hope, that excitement. And again, there's the other side of all of this. Maybe you're not getting a gift of all. Maybe you're getting coal on Christmas morning. I remember once upon a time my brother did just that when the age of innocence still abounded. And of course, there were tears on Christmas morning. But as we begin this season of Advent, perhaps we've been thinking about these Christmas gifts with a little bit more detail. But with everything I've just said, the things we're asking for are the things that we think are worth waiting for, the things that are worth waiting for someone to give to us. And you can see it all around in our world. You can see the hope, the desiring, the want of Christmas. I'm not one to wade into the debate when we talk about when is it appropriate to start playing Christmas songs or put out the decorations or anything of that nature. I typically do fall the day after Thanksgiving at the earliest, but perhaps in a year like no other, people might be forgiven for setting up a little bit earlier simply because there is that hope of Christmas morning, that expectation of a good and wonderful thing under the tree. But with all of these things, are you going to get what you want? In Advent, the days leading up to the Feast of the Nativity are filled with expectation, and they are also filled with repentance. Repentance doesn't sound very hopeful, but yet we also are eagerly awaiting the news of our Lord's incarnation, of our Savior's birth, and also waiting to be gathered together with a home full of friends and family and laughter and food and thoughtful gifts being exchanged. We can expect that. And yet there's this tension between it, the hope and the excitement of gathering together, the hope of our Lord's incarnation coming to earth to save us, and yet also the fact that he is coming to die. So when Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey, the gospel lesson takes us to that very reality. The gospel lesson takes place on Palm Sunday, just 6 short days before his crucifixion. And so we might be asking ourselves, well, what? That's the most awful kind of hope there is, hope to die. Are we going to get what we want? The people who have lined the streets, who spread their cloaks on the road, who are waving palms and saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, Hosanna in the highest. They are expecting, they are hoping, they are awaiting a king, and they are prepared to welcome a king. They want a king. Are they going to get what they want? As Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, the people expect a royal king, one who is mighty in power, the political powerhouse, the economic miracle worker, the mighty warrior, the hammer of justice. The people expect a king who can make their national dreams and ambition of wealth and power a reality. Are they going to get what they want with this king? And we know, too, that the donkey is a sign of humility, but we also know that it is steeped, deep in prophecy in the Old Testament. When Jacob was dying in Egypt and he went around to bless his 12 sons, and he says of Judah, binding his donkey to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he washed his clothes in the blood of the grapes. His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth are whiter than milk. Certainly, there's a bit of a hint that this king is going to be a little different. Zechariah the prophet says, and we sing this in our liturgy sometimes, and we know these words well, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And even when King Solomon, that great, wealthy, and wise king, when he entered Jerusalem, he came on David's own donkey. And so the people who are gathered to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem, they are expecting a king. They know they are getting a king. But it is fitting that Jesus should come on a donkey because that's what the prophecies have foretold, even if it goes against what we might think a king should be riding. Are they going to get what they want? They are going to get their king. But it might seem a little anticlimactic to the people who are gathered there because this king doesn't enter on a war horse ready to pummel Israel's neighbors or to take on the Roman military occupiers, nor does he enter on Seabiscuit, a champion racehorse, something worth an endless amount of money, nor does he enter on a workhorse prepared to be a servant of the people. Jesus doesn't enter on one of the Budweiser Clydesdales. There is grandiosity here. There is celebration. There is hope. There is expectation. Are the people going to get what they want? But the king comes in deep humility, on a donkey, and that does send a very different message. A king who certainly comes to serve. A few weeks ago in the Old Testament lesson, Amos asked the question of the people because their confidence was misplaced. Why would you want the day of the Lord? Because when the day of the Lord comes, sin will be revealed and you will be judged along with your neighbor. And so when the people cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, that is the same prayer that the people are asking. We want the day of the Lord, but we don't know why. And today's reading from Isaiah presents a similar question. The people acknowledge their sin, but they plead that God would not look upon it. Isaiah prays that the Lord will not be so terribly angry with them because of their centuries of iniquity and rebellion. Yet they do have the desire to ask, will we be saved? Are we going to get what we want from the Lord? Are we going to get that promised inheritance that he has promised to give to us with the Messiah? But again, Isaiah hammers home, if God does rend the heavens, as we sung and heard in as the opening verses, if God does come down and fires burn and water boils and the nations tremble and Israel's adversaries are destroyed, it won't be pretty. Do you still want what you hope for? Because again, on account of their sin, if God does rend the heavens, they will be destroyed too. But there is a turn here. Instead, there is the desire that they want to be the clay. They want to understand what it means to be God's people. They want to let God be the potter. They want to be conformed to his will and his desires. They want to serve the will of the Lord. And this is the turn for us too. They pray that what God wants, they will also want. The king comes on a donkey, the foal of a donkey, not as the king they want, not as the king they deserve, but as the king they need. Jesus is not the king we want. He's certainly not something we've been browsing Amazon for and hundreds of other websites to make sure we get it exactly right so that there are no tears on Christmas morning. And so that is why we pray that we would be the clay in the potter's hand. That is why we pray, stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. He's not the king we want, but the king we need. In 1 week, people will not see the king they want as he enters Jerusalem, but the king they need. Upon the cross, bloodied, beaten, shoulders stretched out of his sockets. The great entrance of Palm Sunday will seem like a disingenuous charade from a charlatan who now gets the end he deserves for his blasphemy, for pretending to be the Messiah that was promised from so long ago. And there it might seem that the people get what they want. They want him to die. But we see there's more going on here. Jesus wants the donkey because he knows how things have to be. Jesus knows that the other time he was on a donkey, he was entering into Bethlehem in his mother's womb. And that teaches us that God will get what he wants because he is God and because the Lord has need of it. And through the cross, God will get what he wants for you. He will get you into his kingdom, and you will get to know his love and to know the love of him, and you will get to share that love with your neighbor. And in this way, having the trust and knowledge of the testimony of Jesus being revealed to us, as Paul says in the epistle today, we will not be lacking in any gift. So the triumphal entry is really a win-win. On the cross, the Lord will get what he wants. He gets a payment for sin, an atonement for sin, and he will get you into his kingdom through that satisfactory atonement. He will get it through a ransom, and he will get it through a sacrifice. Though the cross is a gruesome torture, Jesus gets what he wants, his love to be known and to be made available to all. Jesus willingly accepts the cup of wrath to be poured out on him so that his love, in turn, is poured out on you. He will get for you a way to be saved. And that's what we really want in Advent, a way to be saved. So let us pray that we desire and treasure above all things what the Lord wants for us. It's not the gift we want, it's the gift we need. But we are getting what we need for Christmas. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us stand for prayer.
In our prayers, we have Kent Tejan, and Kent, who is on hospice, passed away on Thanksgiving morning, so we keep the family in our prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, enrich your saints in every way as we enter another church year. Encourage the preachers of your word and all who hear, that the testimony about Christ may be confirmed again among us. Give boldness and faithfulness to Matthew, our synod president, Lee, our district president, Kent, our circuit visitor, and all pastors in Christ. As you have called us into the fellowship of your Son, so sustain us as we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, preserve and bless all Christian households, that husbands and wives would live in love and service to each other, that fathers and mothers would diligently bring up their children in your fear, that the children would honor their parents and be well equipped for service to their neighbors in this life. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, be with the governing authorities and enable them to preserve peace and order in our nation. Hear our prayers for Donald, our president, Mike, our governor, our military and police, and other civil servants, as well as all newly elected officials. Increase a spirit of unity and cooperation among the peoples of our land and the nations of the world. Lord, in your mercy, compassionate Lord, behold in mercy all who are in any danger, trouble, sickness, or need. Hear our prayers for the sick and the suffering. We especially pray for Raymond, who's hospitalized, Charles, who will undergo surgery, for those recovering from surgery and illness and injury, including Charles, Miriam, Elka, Archie, Keith, Lou, Ken, Diane, Gary, Sue, Bob, and Fanny. For those contending with health issues, including Erica, Jeff, Ken, Nicole, Arla, David, Russell, Timothy, Amy, Sammy, Ellie, Carol, Brandon, Dennis, Alvin, Yvonne, Farah, Michelle, Michael, Julia, Sandra, Weston, Charlene, Richard, Tabitha, Lavono, Jessica, Emma, Faith, Bill and Beverly, Kylie, Mary, Arlene, Blake, Linda, Roberta, Shirley, Kaylee, Jim, Emma, Sarah, Will, Anthony, Jane, Chelsea, and Ruth Ann. For those managing the effects of cancer, including Marriott, Beth, Aaron, Stephanie, Connie, David, Joyce, Joanne, Thatcher, Ron, Jennifer, Barry, Jerry, Brianna, Linda, Jamie, David, Renee, Tom, Stephanie, Susan, Robert, Anna, Ron, Teresa, Nancy, Sue Ellen, Sonia, Frank, Larry, John, Judy, Carl, Donna, Amy, Susan, Al, and Jan. Give health to our world and bring pandemic to an end. Comfort those who mourn, especially the family of Kent, and sustain them with confident hope in the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, eternal Lord, as your Son once entered humbly into Jerusalem, to the cries of Hosanna, so send him to us according to his promise in the Holy Sacrament, that we may eat his body and drink his blood in repentance and faith for the forgiveness of our sins and in the unity of true confession. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it of all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul, to life everlasting.
Depart in peace.
Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. We sing hymn 332, Savior of the Nations Come. Hymn 332, Savior of the Nation Come.